Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. This is Kevin Gianni. We're here with Fred Patnaud. Fred, what are we talking about today?
Today I want to talk about an email that I received. Actually, it's a comment that we received a few weeks back based on some of the podcasts or topics we talked about. I think we were talking about green smoothies. So we got an email from Ralph who said that he doesn't like that we're mixing fruit with the rest of the stuff, like vegetables. Fruit should be eaten by itself before the rest of your meal, with the exception of apples and lemons, which mix well with most other foods. And then he also didn't like the fact that you didn't chew your smoothies very well, Kevin.
I let the blender do that.
He didn't approve. Now, this is interesting because food combining is kind of a theory that's been around for a long time. And I think a lot of people kind of still follow it a little blindly. And I never heard of the idea that apples and lemons mixed with everything. Some food combining thing theories say other things. And so I kind of wanted to talk about that because this is a common question that we get.
Yeah, food combining. I remember talking about food combining a lot in kind of the raw food space when I was, you know, fully immersed there, and maybe you as well, Fred. And I think what happens is that everyone gets so kind of like detailed up on their diet and so neurotic about it that suddenly they start thinking about, oh, wait a minute, you know, now that my diet is so clean, what if I can make it cleaner? And you go even deeper down into this rabbit hole of different types of food combining. You can't eat this type of food with this type of food. You can't have melons with, you know, steak and, you know, all these sorts of things. And some of it I think makes sense. And some of it I think is related to just the digestive distress that a lot of people put on themselves when they go to a raw food diet and their diet isn't, you know, able to, or their digestion isn't able to actually digest the foods as, you know, voraciously as it would if they were eating a regular diet and their HCL levels were up and their enzyme levels were up too in their digestion. So I think there's a couple variables here. And I think the first one I want to tackle is kind of like this digestive kind of issue going on. So when someone goes on, you know, an extreme diet or something like that, what happens is their, in most cases, their digestion, particularly if it's, you know, vegan or vegan or raw food, the digestion will dampen. It's kind of a Chinese medicine thing, and raw foods tend to dampen digestion. So if your digestion is dampened, what's going to happen is you're going to start to notice you can't combine certain foods together because it is harder for your body to digest them because you're just producing less HCL. So you're producing less digestive fire. So yes, what I think happens is a lot of people go into this place, and I believe food combining comes from like the natural hygiene space, which does, you know, emphasize a lot of raw foods, and kind of, you know, shifts the diet this way. So yeah, so you're going to start to notice certain things you can't combine. And, you know, when you look at, you know, the way that the body digests things, you know, sugars are obviously the easiest to digest, and then fats and proteins. And Fred, I'm not fully on board. Is it fats then proteins, or proteins then fats?
I think it's more the mixing of high protein food with starches that is frowned upon.
Right. So those are the two that are the extremes. So you're looking at starches/sugars, then fats, and then proteins in terms of the digestive process. And if I'm wrong on that, just check me. But you know, the combination of the ones that are on the extremes are going to be the ones that are most difficult to digest, particularly for people whose digestion is pretty weak. So that's kind of like where I wanted to take it first, just to kind of give a perspective on what this all looks like. Fred, what's your take on the digestive side?
Well, I totally agree with you that when you even if you do a little bit of fasting, even if you do just 3 or 4 days of fasting, the days following your fast, you're going to notice that your digestion is weaker. And if you do years of fasting, quote unquote, by eating a very strict raw food diet, your digestion is going to definitely be weaker. I know for me, I mean, that's totally what happened. For years, I was struggling with my digestion because I had lost that fire that you're talking about. I just had to kind of rebuild it a little bit at a time. Now, with food combining in general, I think the theory comes from, the theory definitely comes from natural hygiene, from Herbert Shelton, but I don't know where he got it from. He probably got it from earlier hygienists, but Herbert Shelton worked in a fasting center, right? He was the director of a fasting center, and he was dealing with very sick people. So all of his book, where everything comes from, all of the modern food combining advice comes from that little book called Food Combining Made Easy, where Shelton gave a bunch of rules and said that this is from his observations at his clinic. So he's dealing with very sick people and he's trying to feed them and he's noticing that they can't digest certain combinations. So he's simplifying the food for them and coming up with these rules in this little book that essentially was just a guide for his patients to follow after they left the center. And it became like a bestseller. I think it was his number one bestseller. So for half the rules, he doesn't give any reason for. Like, he just gives a rule with no reasoning behind it. And the other half, he has like a bit of reasoning, you know, and the digestives on the digestion side of it. Which is really based on, it's based on nothing, right? It's not true it's not true science because the body really can digest these combinations. And the proof is that, you know, if we look at a few combinations that you're not supposed to make, if you follow food combining, for example, you're not supposed to eat starches with protein. But if you look in nature, a lot of foods contain both starches and protein, right? I mean, all the starches contain protein. And the beans contain a lot of protein, and maybe some people can't digest them, but that's not the reason most people can't digest protein. It's not the combination. We have some foods that have fat and sugar at the same time. That's also a bad combination because he didn't necessarily say fat and sugar, but he said no fruit or dried fruit with high fat food. So it's kind of the same thing. But you look at several fruits have both fat and sugar. The fruit, the durian, has fat and sugar in it. So it's, you know, did nature make a mistake? If you look at what people eat around the world, they eat these combinations. And again, I mean, his book was really meant for really sick people. And there's no reason why you should mix lettuce with bananas. I mean, what's the reasoning behind it? You know, there's fiber. I mean, it all works well. I threw away all of the food combining rules. I don't know about you, Kevin. I mean, there's a few combinations that I'll still avoid. We can talk about that, but I don't follow much of it. I eat fruit after a meal now. It's just I don't eat a lot of it. Like, of course, if you eat a big meal and then you finish it off with half a watermelon, then you're asking for trouble.
Yeah. For me, I stick to only a few of the food combining rules. And I never fully subscribe to it. I always thought, you know, like, it just doesn't seem to make sense in the same way that you did. You know, why would there be durian and why would there be things that kind of just fly in the face of some of these rules that were created, you know, back when Herbert Shelton was doing this and probably even before. The two that I stick to is bread and cheese.
That's your special rule. No bread and cheese.
No bread and cheese combination. That's kind of one that I, you know, if I ever do kind of get into a bread and cheese situation, that's always ridiculously bad for me. So, and that might even be gluten and lactose. So it's not even a macronutrient problem. It's not a fat / protein / you know, carbohydrate issue. It might be a gluten / lactose issue for me. So that's one food combination. These are modern day food. This is modern day food combining. This is like real deal food combining that I'm talking about here. So that's bread and cheese. So anything in the form of pizza or anything like that. So, but I mean, you know, in any healthy diet, I mean, it does make sense to stay away from things like that. And then the second one that I do find makes a little bit of sense to me just on a personal level. And maybe, you know, you agree with this as well, is that I do find that if I eat melons and then I eat any other type of food, like melons, and then like the whole like 4th of July kind of like hamburger and watermelon kind of thing, Like I don't eat the hamburger and all the bun and all that sort of stuff. But if I do have some sort of grass fed, grass finished meat or wild poultry or something like that, and then I have melon, I just find that I burp up that melon for an extended period of time, and it tends to get very off, in a very short period of time. So what that indicates to me is that the melon is so volatile in the stomach acid, it's breaking down very fast, and it's also staying there and remaining in there as the protein and whatever else from the animal food is digesting in my stomach. And not only animal food, but beans or anything else that has a higher protein. It does seem that the digestion between the melon and protein or melon and fat seems to be a little bit iffy for me.
I have a few rules as well. One of them is kind of similar to your cheese and bread. I mean, it's not the same thing, but I just can't do desserts, like typical desserts, right? I occasionally, but eating a meal and I know if I eat any meal and then there's the opportunity to eat like a real dessert, like a cake or something after that meal, it's always a bad idea. This, especially like a dessert that might have dairy or butter in it. I mean, these desserts are just horrible. I don't know. I just don't do well with them, but I don't think anybody does, right? Mm-hmm. Like nobody eats like, cheesecake after a meal and thinks, wow, that was a great idea. Like, you like the cheesecake, but you don't say, whoa, I'm so glad I ate this. Like, as you're in pain. So this is kind of, I know certain foods, I mean, they're unhealthy foods anyway, but in terms of, the other food combining rules, like I do eat fruit after a meal, but my meals are usually pretty simple. And, I find even if the meal is cooked, even if the meal has some fat, even if the meal has starches, I can eat a piece of fruit not immediately after, but if I get hungry a little bit later, I'll eat a piece of fruit or two and I'm fine. And I always put, I make like salads, for example. I made a quinoa salad the other day. So there was quinoa cooked in vegetable broth. And then I put tomatoes, cucumber, mint, fresh mint. I put a few soaked cashews. And I put blueberries. And it was awesome. And everybody loved it that I served it to. And nobody had any trouble digesting it. So just the blueberries, it's not a huge amount of sugar. It's not a huge amount of acids. I find these rules kind of useless, the ones about you cannot have fruit with other foods. Yes, you can. I mean, you can mix melons with other fruits. You can blend melons with other fruits. But maybe eating a piece of melon after a heavy meal is, probably not a good idea because your meal is already heavy. So adding, something like that on top of it is not necessarily a good idea, but I think the quantity is really what matters. I know like the combination of a lot of nuts and a lot of dried fruit is not a good combination in general. And people, especially in the raw food world, who make these raw pies and they make this crust with nuts and then they add, more nuts in the filling and then there's dried fruit and then there's dates and a syrup and it just never ends, like the amount of fat and sugar from nuts and fruit all in the same pie, right? But I find that if you eat just a little bit, if you have a small handful of almonds with, let's say, an apple or let's say a few raisins, it's not a problem. Especially if your body needs it, if you're hungry, if you've been hiking or something, it's a great snack to have, right? So I think these rules, make a little bit of sense, but the science is off. It's not exactly it. There's a bad, a little bit of truth behind the rules, but people go crazy. And if you try to never mix those foods, essentially there's not much you can eat anymore. So of course it works as a diet because, you're eating a salad with a you know, a baked sweet potato and that's your meal. Of course, you're going to lose weight. You're eating that your next meal is going to be maybe some protein with a salad. So you're eating much less than if you combine everything together. That's why it works as a weight loss program. But over time, even people that recommended food combining rules like the Diamonds who wrote Fit for Life, they're not following it anymore.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's very true. Harvey Diamond doesn't follow the Fit for Life protocol anymore. And he's public about it. He's written a book. He's written books afterwards that speak against it. I mean, not speak against it, but speak differently. So you know, we have to be clear about, you know, sometimes these diets are a part of the healing or health process. They're not the end all diet that you can use. And that's how we feel about, you know, the raw food diet. So we feel about the vegan diet, we feel about the paleo diet, all these diets. They're all tools. You use them as you can. Maybe even the Atkins diet. You know, these are all tools that you can use. And just to check my facts back here, starch stays in the stomach the least amount of time, and then protein and then fat. So just that's kind of the process. And then melon and like in simple sugars and like syrups and things like that, they stay even shorter than starch. So again, I think where a lot of this is coming from is just based simply on that, you know, knowledge of where digestion time is coming for, like what the period of digestion time is. And the assumption is that if you eat a melon, which stays in your digestive system, if you eat it alone for, you know, 1 to 2 hours, or sorry, your stomach 1 to 2 hours, and then, you know, you eat fat combined with that, then it's likely that some of that will stay in your stomach longer. And that's kind of where this is kind of all coming from, just so you know.
But definitely the mixing of leaves, like green vegetables with fruit is not a bad combination. It doesn't even violate the so-called food combining rules that Herbert Shelton made up.
No.
Because there's no rule specifically that said that you can't mix lettuce with fruits. And even he served that at his clinic. So I don't know where people are coming from with that, but it's pretty pretty simple.
I also think a lot of these, you know, particularly like the leafy vegetables versus regular vegetables, I think everyone's kind of grouping vegetables into vegetables and not doing it correctly. So like the leafy vegetables, they're very low in complex carbohydrates, whereas fruit is high in simple sugars. You know, there's fructose and there's other sugars in fruit. So you have this problem where a lot of people are thinking you can't blend the stuff together and then you have to chew it. Because you know you're not going to be able to digest the sugars together, which doesn't really make sense either. Because the simple sugars you don't need to chew necessarily to actually have your body digest the sugars properly. With complex carbohydrates, you do. So, for instance, you need to chew something that has more complex carbohydrates because there's enzymes in your saliva that actually starts to break them down. But you know, we're not blending, you know, like sweet potatoes and salad together or something like that and slurping that down. When you're making a green smoothie, it's, you know, it's for me at least, it's greens and it's fruit, you know, and so that's like, you know, that's kind of how it comes together. So we're not looking at this confusion between like complex carbohydrates versus, you know, simple sugars that your body can easily digest that come from fruits.
And there is a combination though that I kind of I'm skeptical about, because I hear people making some green smoothies, and when I you know watch what they're putting in it, I'm appalled, because those are sometimes combinations I would never think about mixing together in my wildest dreams. There was a guy on YouTube that was making this movie about what he's eating on a vegan diet for training as a bodybuilder. And he was making the smoothie, Kevin. In the smoothie, there was like bananas, there was tomatoes, greens, and carrots. I mean, a horrible kind of weird mix of foods, right? And it's the combination of tomatoes and bananas that kind of got me. And I was like, dude, what are you doing putting tomatoes in a fruit smoothies? And to me, I just think of it and I think that you probably have a hard time digesting it. I don't know why. It's probably the old idea that you're not supposed to mix bananas with acid fruit. But I know that I'd be okay with a smoothie with a banana and maybe, I don't know, a kiwi in it. But tomatoes, I don't get it. I don't get why people are putting like raw carrots in smoothies or broccoli in smoothies. I mean, some of these vegetables, it's not a question of combination. It's just a question that they're difficult to digest raw, right? Too much fiber, too much of that tough fiber, especially for the cauliflower and broccoli and so on. And you put it in a smoothie. I mean, I can see why some people are having trouble digesting it. It's just maybe too much of the sulfuric acid and so on that's in the cauliflower and those vegetables. So you know, keep it clean with fruit, green leaves. I mean, that's what I do. If a combination sounds horrible, don't do it. But you know, who knows? Maybe it's tasty. Maybe it works. It probably works, but I just don't like the idea, right?
Yeah, and finally, you know, I've put out recipes like this before, but finally, like the superfood kind of green smoothie kind of thing where you know, you put in like coconut oil and maybe you put in like chocolate powder and you put in, you know, your goji berries and you put in like avocado and what else do you put in those type of things? You know, you kind of go crazy and maybe a green powder. So it's not even like real greens, like, you know, like lettuce or spinach or bok choy or something, you know, that's real watery and real delicious. And, you know, it's covered, the flavor is kind of covered up with the, you know, the fruits that you put in there. Those kind of smoothies, you know, they're out the door for me. I don't eat those types of smoothies anymore. I think for maybe someone who's getting into this type of thing and might want to experiment, yeah, go ahead and do some of that and you know, get all those flavors and get all those healthy fats and all that thing. I think it's a little too, I remember everyone was putting agave syrup in their smoothies before everyone, you know, agave syrup kind of took this huge tank in terms of its, you know, popularity. Which I think was justfully so, but you know, everyone was kind of doing that type of smoothie a few years back, maybe even, you know, 6-7 years back, and that stuff's kind of out the door. I think we've realized that type of smoothie, while it's a cool gateway kind of smoothie drug, if you will, it's not the smoothie that you know that I think at least is going to bring you to optimal health. It may mineralize you. It may give you a bunch of nutrients in a short period of time, but I think it will, over time, upset your digestion because way too much fat, too much sugar. And then on the other side, you know, eventually what'll happen is most people turn to regular, you know, just simple old fruit and veggie kind of smoothies, to get them to the health that they want.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with you, Kevin. One last thing is, I do think though, a big smoothie like that with where you have fats and so on could be useful if someone really needs the calories. If you're training for a big event, you're training for a triathlon and you need like a smoothie that's going to be like 1200 calories, you know, then that's going to be tough to do with just fruits and greens. You might even skip some of the greens and put some of the green powders in it just to make it more concentrated. It put some nuts in it, put some nut butters. I mean, but that's exceptional. That's when somebody's really needing a lot of calories. And I think most of our listeners are kind of the opposite. They probably need to cut down a little bit overall.
You know, and just a quick tip, I would highly recommend not even adding some of those fats into your like endurance training routine. My simple recipe for endurance training, I just put it in like a little, I empty out one of those like 5-hour energy, bottles. I just like buy a couple of them, empty them out. I take about half honey, half maple syrup, then, you know, maybe like a tablespoon of a little bit less of chocolate powder, and then about 3 or 4 pinches of sea salt, and mix that together. And that's a great, during the run kind of energy boosting thing. You don't even need the fats. Before and after, you can kind of mess around, but that's kind of a quick little, an alternative health goo. And if you've ever seen the goo packets that people eat when they do these endurance training, that's what I do. When we did the Tough Mudder, everyone was like raving about it because it gave them a bunch of energy. And, there wasn't the same crash that you would get if you're just eating these like, you know, goo or like the stomach bomb kind of feeling when you eat that kind of, you know, marathon or endurance crap that I think is, you know, kind of prevailing in the market. So anyway, guys, food combining, do your own thing. Feel what works for you. I think that a lot of the stuff, as Fred and I have mentioned, is a little bit off. So don't go too crazy about it. Don't fall into the hype. do what works for you, and you'll be all right.
Renegade Health Radio.